Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
We are joined by Grayson Grundhafer, Sikkim365.com, and also 365 Sports, recruiting, football, men's basketball, and more. Grayson, thanks for your time. Let's start with men's basketball. It's not official, but sounds really good when it comes to Jeremy Roach. Sounds pretty positive when it comes to Big Tall Drink of Water from Tennessee. What are you hearing as far as how Scott Drew, now that all of the stuff with Kentucky is out of the way?
Right. I mean, there's a lot of momentum, it feels like, right now for Baylor men's basketball. And you're exactly right. When you're looking at Jeremy Roach, that seems like something that is definitely trending in Baylor's direction right now. And, you know, if they're able to land a guy like this, it would be huge. And it was an area that Baylor, I think, really wanted to and needed to address this offseason, just trying to figure out that point guard position. And when you look at Duke, you know, Jeremy Roach had to play a lot of combo guard at Duke, where he's running point guard, but he's also having to do shooting guard duties and sharing reps at point guard. And so this gives him an opportunity potentially to run an offense and be a point guard, for a contender. And, I mean, he's had great years at Duke. He's made the Final Four once, made the Elite Eight last year. It just brings a high level of experience mixed with a high level of shooting. I mean, he shot 43% from three this year, gets to the free throw line a lot. I mean, a really, really good player that averaged 14 points at Duke last year. And for large stretches, I think, you know, a lot of people would probably look at him and say, you know, he might have been their best player this year at Duke. I mean, Filipowski's in there. There were a few other guys, but he was very, very consistent for them and has been really, really good for Duke for multiple years. So if they're able to, you know, finish this out and land him here in the next few days, it would be huge for Scott Drew and definitely point to a team that's trending in a very good direction, adding another veteran like this to a guard group that is going to be extremely talented, extremely veteran-laden, mixed with a couple really, really good freshmen with B.J. Edgecombe and Rob Wright.
Yeah, and my question also is, does this maybe lead to Jaden Nunn looking around or perhaps Miro Little?
You know, I would be a little surprised if Jaden Nunn left. I think that, you know, when you go to a place and you're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, maybe I can be the point guard the next year, which, you know, very likely is what Jaden Nunn was kind of thinking. You know, Ray J leaves and now, you know, maybe he goes into that point guard role. But I don't think he showed enough this year for anyone to really believe that he would be the starting point guard. This next year, he just didn't quite have that playmaking ability that you want to see as far as playmaking for others. But I think on the flip side of that is he really developed into a great role player for the team last year. And he had really good stretches where he shot the ball extremely well, was very aggressive, It was up and down defensively, which he needs to work on. But I think in general, having a guy like Jeremy Roach on the team and obviously having Langston Love and these other guys, I think will actually fit Jaden's game really well. And so I'm hoping that doesn't happen. I kind of think that he's going to stay. I think the one that, you know, a lot of people are going to look at is, you know, how patient is Miro Little going to be? Because the thing there is that you're bringing in Rob Wright, and it seems like Wright is going to be that backup point guard, and you're bringing in Jeremy Roach to be the starting point guard. It just feels like there's going to be a lot of minutes that are taken away from Miro Little in that instance. So you'd like to have Miro for multiple years, but he seems like the one that I would say is more the odd man out as far as the minutes go.
So we kind of address the Jeremy Roach part of this, and it does seem like Baylor is in a very strong position to land the Blue Devil. How about Tennessee big Jonas Adu? How would he kind of fit into the puzzle from your perspective?
I mean, this is kind of exactly what Baylor would need if they're able to land him. I don't think – I'm not quite as confident in this one yet. I do think Baylor is considered, in my eyes, the leader right now, but there are a lot of schools looking at him. I think North Carolina and I believe Kentucky is trying to get involved as well recently. So there's some big-time contenders for him. But as far as Baylor goes, if they're able to land him, he fills that need. And I know we've talked about it. They looked at Rutgers center Cliff Amorui, and he's a guy who also fits that role, and I think they're still working on him as well. But if you land either of those two guys, what you're getting is a high level of defense, a high level of rim protection, which you got from Eves-Meesey this past year. But what you didn't quite get from Eves is just a veteran presence and a veteran physicality. And that's no slight to Eves. I mean, Eves is going to be a very good pro player for a long time, but he was 19 years old, and that's just so different. You know, when you're playing against these big grown men in college basketball, the age does matter at times. And I think you saw that at times, especially later in the year. So getting a guy like Jonas Adu, I think, really solves that problem. He gives you a veteran leader, a veteran rim protector, a guy who was one of the best defenders in the post in the SEC. And so for that reason, he really fits the bill of what Baylor needs as far as being a rim runner and a rim protector in the paint. And it also gives them, you know, a starting center in which you're able to have Josh O as your backup and kind of rotate two guys that are extremely experienced and bring a lot to the table. So he would be a huge pickup and solve another need that Baylor has. And you know, those two spots were huge needs, and there's maybe one or two other spots that I think are needs for them as well, which they're going to try figuring out through the transfer portal, it seems like.
All right, so tomorrow the spring workouts, practices, and some 7-on-7, et cetera, will be in the indoor, which also eliminates the public, and I know people have their own opinions on that. And some media will be there. We'll have a handful of people there, too. Really, Grayson, we're not going to be able to see much, but if, in fact, there is something to see for those who have not been able to get anything other than little windows during the week, once or twice a week, what can we see? What do you think we'll see? And will all eyes be on the quarterback with Finn and also with Sawyer Robertson?
Right. I mean, all eyes are definitely going to be on the quarterback position. I think that there's no doubt about it. Everyone wants to see what these guys are going to bring to the table. Everyone wants to see, you know, who the best is at this moment. They want to see if Dave Aranda is going to make an announcement of some kind, all of that. And so obviously that's the biggest part of the intrigue. You know, I think for me, a lot of this is really going to come down to what exactly are they going to do. Because if they're going to do a lot of one-on-ones, I think it'll be a great opportunity to see this receiving core go up against Baylor's cornerbacks, which I think Baylor's cornerbacks are an area that everyone's feeling, I think, pretty good about. But I think a lot of people still have questions about the wide receiver position. And I would just say that I think the wide receiver position has been one that's taken a big step forward this spring. And so I think people might be pleasantly surprised by what they see from that position against Baylor's really good cornerback group. I've seen and heard nothing but good things about the two transfers, Ashton Hawkins and Jamal Bell. It seems like Keytron Jackson, Hal Presley, Josh Cameron, Monterey Baldwin, kind of the guys who have been there for a while. It seems like those guys have taken steps in the right direction as well. But it goes even further than that. You know, Jaden Porter's played well this offseason. I think Javon Gibson has shown some flashes of the kind of, you know, player he can be as well. And so you put that all together, I'm very intrigued by that. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the passing game. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to get to see a ton as far as the offensive line and defensive line goes. And I think those are probably outside quarterback, the two biggest question marks that people have about this roster is, you know, what are those two, you know, lines of the scrimmage going to look like for Baylor this year? Because offensive line has had a lot of issues, and it's continued this spring, even after bringing in a couple of transfers. They've had some injuries as well, which has not helped things. And then on the defensive line, you had two medical retirements right at the beginning of spring, and so they're still trying to figure that out as well. So, unfortunately, I doubt we get to see too much from that, but I do think we'll get to see plenty in the passing game, which I think will be pretty intriguing, especially with kind of knowing what Jake Spavisaw is bringing to the table with this new air raid offense.
So we've clearly seen the shift in the kind of importance level nationally of the whole spring extravaganza, you know, massive event and, you know, selling out the stadiums. And some schools still doing that, but, you know, others kind of wanting to hide their guys and not have them out there in front of everybody. How much of a recruiting event was this expected to be for Dave Aranda and the Bears? And how much maybe gets taken away by not having a game, or do you view it that way? Is it still going to be a situation where they can get done what they need to get done in that regard?
Yeah, you know, all spring, I would say Baylor has had guys in and had guys watch practice and had guys have more one-on-one time with the coaches. And while I know everyone wants to talk about spring games as these huge events where you bring in a lot of kids, and that definitely does happen, there's a lot less one-on-one time and a lot less of really getting to sit in a meeting and getting to watch a practice and stand with your potential position coach, which is what guys have done all spring coming up to this point. And I think those are honestly the best times for players to come and visit. But, you know, I think a lot of people do want this to be a huge event. And I think in some regards that is important. But I think in other regards, it's gotten less and less important. And honestly, it's more important that you are able to be healthy and also that you're not, you know, showing your players, and for Baylor not showing this new scheme that they're bringing to the table. And so I think there's just a lot of reasons to not have it. And you mix that in with the weather. You don't really want to see guys get hurt during something like this. So I think you put it all together, I think ultimately it's a good decision from Baylor. And honestly, I don't think it's something that is going to cost them at all in recruiting. Most of the guys that they wanted to visit, they got to visit during this past month. And I think they've taken advantage of it in that way. And so obviously with their first official visit weekend coming next weekend, and with the fact that they're going to be working on getting transfers on visits next weekend as well, that part of it is far more important than just getting visitors on campus for a spring game.
All right, Grayson, what are the you know that they can have the communication now in the helmets of one player on offense, one player on defense. We know in offense it'll be the quarterback. With what you know or who you think will be in that, and they rotate players in. If you got good depth, you want to do that. Who would have the communication device in their helmet on defense, in your opinion?
My guess on this would be Matt Jones. I think that he's been at Baylor for a long time. He's projected to be the starting Mike linebacker. He's going to be on the field a ton. He seems like the most logical choice, and I think most teams are probably going to pick a linebacker, maybe a safety. I could see that as well. Baylor has a couple of veteran safeties with Devin Lemire and Devin Bobby. But I think those guys rotate so much more than a Matt Jones would. So I think he's going to end up being the guy, and it makes a ton of sense. I mean, Matt has been at Baylor for a very long time, and it appears he's gained even more trust with Dave Aranda and his coaching staff. So he would definitely be my guest at this time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Grayson Grundhaver, Sikkim365.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.